You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We have so many things to pass on to y'all right now, but we're going to start with, and if you are listening on the podcast, this is 3:06 p.m. Mm-hmm. on June 17th, and I just got this into my phone. Our area is under a severe thunderstorm watch.
That extends until 10 p.m. tonight. It covers pretty much all of the metro listening area, except for Atchison. Anything south or east of Atchison, we are under a severe thunderstorm watch, and that stretches all the way to mid-Missouri.
Oh, it goes... Honestly, I don't know that there's anyone listening that this does not affect. It would take me an hour to read all of the counties that are listed here. So just please download the KMBZ app or the KMBC app. I find the Johnson and Jackson County weather service apps to be very helpful as well.
By the way, you had mentioned those old alerts that would not leave people's phone screens.
Yes, the old alert from Saturday, Dan,
is
still on my phone. I've hit clear. Every time I open my phone, it says severe weather alert, and now it started all over again because we just got another one.
The swipe left?
I did it.
Hmm.
Sam?
That's what I was going to say. The text line lit up and said, on iPhones, you swipe left.
I did swipe left, and then I hit clear.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. I can come in and check it out on one of the
Please do. Because, you know, every time I open my phone, it's like, warning! And I'm like, oh, my God! Doesn't it look like it's bad out?
Boomers and technology.
Oh, we could fill hours and hours. And speaking of boomers, listen to this story. Talk about a gut-brain connection. Scientists say they have long known about the link between our stomachs and our brains, warning that our diets and gut health, Sam, you talk about this all the time, have a huge impact on our mood and on our mental health. A study published this week claims to have found a way to flush some of the brain fog and attention issues that accompany us down the toilet. A team of researchers from the University of Birmingham and Oxford conducted a study looking at the effects of a prescription drug for constipation on cognitive issues.
I really hope our international visitors are listening.
I hope they are too. Here's looking at you, England. Those of you who took a laxative performed better and faster on cognitive tests to measure focus, attention span, planning, balancing multiple tasks, short and long-term memory, and emotional cognition tasks.
Now, I wouldn't go and just start taking laxatives every time you have a big test to take or something like that. But
can you imagine you go to work because you're feeling a little anxious and you're feeling a little foggy? All you're going to end up doing is yourself up and down the hallway, which guess what is going to cause anxiety.
Yeah, if I took some X-Lax right at 1:30, 1:45 right before the show, my anxiety would certainly not be down for the show.
The good news is your anxiety has gone down. The bad news is you just crapped your pants at work.
Well, but I guess I would get to go home early. That would take care of some of the anxiety, I guess.
But like men of my age and older and sometimes younger, clearing all that out
is sometimes not the worst thing.
That you do clear it out can be a mind clearer. Like, I can think again.
Oh, I certainly feel ready for the day after my morning constitution.
Okay, that's enough.
Hey, you brought it up.
That is absolutely enough of that.
Dan's right.
You put it in the stack.
It's good to get a good clean out every now and then, you know?
Do we have the Mike Sweeney audio yet, Sam? Because it's my favorite story of the day. As you grab it, listen to this, you guys. Oh, my goodness. Because I know we talk soccer all the time, and we're going to come back to soccer, but I have to tell you this story. From the Kansas City Star. Former Royal star Mike Sweeney has gone viral for the greatest reason after his daughter pranked her all-star dad. So listen to this. Apparently, Kansas City Royals Hall of Famer and former star first baseman Mike Sweeney is so humble, he doesn't even remember how great of a player he was. His daughter has just reminded him and all of us in a TikTok prank that went viral. Sweeney's daughter, Makara Sweeney, phoned her 5-time Major League Baseball All-Star dad, and she recorded the call, which she posted a few days ago to the delight of the interwebs. She told him her cousin had started talking to some guy at school who said he was on the baseball team, and he keeps telling her he's going to get drafted. But we're like, I don't know, is he actually that good? And then she reads him off these stats.
I hope it's clean. I have not had a chance to listen to it. But here you go.
This is super random, but Mia, our cousin, she started talking to this guy from school, and he's on the baseball team, and he keeps telling her that he's going to get drafted, but we're like, we don't know if he's actually good or not. So we looked up his stats, and I wanted to see if you thought he was good enough to get drafted or if he's, like, just making this up and he's not really that good.
For sure. I can tell you.
Okay, okay.
Send me his name, and I'll text you in, like, 5 minutes.
Okay, wait. Can I have, like, five things. Could I just ask you them really quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so batting average is 340.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. RBI is 86.
Oh, that's really good.
Okay, home runs, 24.
That's incredible.
Okay, and then on base percentage, 417.
That's really good.
Okay, and then stolen bases, 9.
Okay, that's average.
And then average. Caught stealing, 7.
Okay, that's not good.
Do you think he has a chance or no?
What school? What school is he at, Arizona State or GCU?
I think GCU.
Ask Mia what's his name?
I don't know his name. She just sent me the stats.
Ask her what his name is and text me and I can figure it out. Like, I can ask my scouts in like 2 minutes.
Okay. Do you think based on that though, like?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Okay.
Hey guys, you guys know of a guy either at GCU or Arizona State that hit like 25 bombs and had like 86 ribbies?
Landon Hairston.
Is it Landon Hairston?
Oh, it might be him.
Is he like light-skinned black kid?
Dad.
Son of Jerry.
His name is actually Mike Sweeney.
Arizona State.
What?
Those were your stats.
What are you talking about?
Those were your stats.
No, what are you talking about?
I just found yours from like 2002.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's a stud.
This guy's a
that
stud.
That guy's a stud. So apparently there's this ongoing social media prank where the kids prank their pro athlete moms and dads with their stats. And the cat's out of the bag now, but isn't that the loveliest thing?
There's nothing more heartwarming than discovering your children think that you're actually cool.
Yeah, like you were actually pretty good. It's like you've heard Tiger Woods say this when Charlie Woods was there for the win several years ago, because the kids growing up, he had that drought, right? And then he came back and he won one. And I remember Tiger Woods said to his kids, like, actually, I was, you know, your old man wasn't bad back in the day. Like, you just haven't been around to see me win that many. But I was, he's like, I was pretty good. So you can find that. We will post that on social because it's the sweetest thing. And honestly, his reaction when he picks up the phone, he's like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
Is like just the loveliest parent, you know, when you get a call from your adult child. Hi, they're calling me.
Now that I know the payoff, it's even funnier. Oh, 340. Man, that's really good.
Well, and then the other one with a stolen bases. Average.
Yeah, that one sucks.
Yeah, he could do better.
Oh my God, I love it. Hey, when we get back on Dana and Parks, we've got an update on a couple of huge high-profile cases. Not looking to make those topics, but we will pass along what happened with the Gilgo Beach serial killer when we get back. And also a sort of a surprising maneuver by Luigi Mangione. We now know what his defense is going to be for the alleged in broad daylight, cold-blooded murder of the hospital CEO, right? And this one's a head-scratcher. We'll talk about that. And then when we get back, have you ever been with a partner who racked up thousands of dollars in credit card debt and then your credit score and your finances suffered for it? You're thinking it wasn't my card, but if you were married to someone with a card and you are adjacent to that person who made poor financial decisions, there's a new law that might help people out in certain circumstances. And I think it's a great, great conversation on Dana and Parks. 913-586-7798. We are back with much more straight ahead. Stick with us. All right, we're going to pivot really quick. If you missed the 2 o'clock hour, please go listen and find that on podcast. The reviews are in and they are glowing for the historic opening match of the World Cup between Argentina and Algeria last night here in our town. Our city has never looked better on a global stage last night. And the only thing people seemed to be complaining about, one little teeny tiny thing, and that was the route getting into Arrowhead, which I will remind you, FIFA is in charge of those things. When the World Cup comes into town, it's sort of like the PGA. They take over the entire event. And we wanted to see, I know they've been in meetings all day, how they are going to address this before Saturday's match between Ecuador and Curaçao. And we are going to welcome in on the hotline the president and CEO of Visit KC and the KC Sports Commission, my good friend, Kathy Nelson. I know you guys have heard. I know you're listening. And I know that there is meetings probably all day, Kathy, above anyone's pay grade listening to try to make this the best experience for our fans.
Oh, absolutely. And great to hear your voice. Yes, as we always, lessons learned from any event we do, we use those lessons and lean into what's happening next. So the lessons learned from the first match is already resulting in improvements that will help fans get into the stadium complex. And, you know, efficiency is important to us. And as we look at the next five matches, improving on what happened yesterday. But you said it. I had over 200 text messages from people that were in the stadium after the match last night. Everyone was like, I will always remember where I was when Messi had a hat trick. I will always remember the energy of the fans. Not a single text message that I received complained about transportation. I get it. It was not easy, but we're figuring it out. And you also said this, that truly those entry operations are FIFA's decisions, but I think they certainly, the Chiefs know how to do this. They're working with KC 2026 and our partners, especially the Chiefs, to figure out and listen to our recommendations now. But yeah, it's a learning curve for all of us, right? We haven't done that type of bus system to a Chiefs game before like that. And yeah, I mean, look, you think back to the 2015 World Series parade and people left their cars on the side of the highway. But what do people talk about? How great it was.
Well, and the guy that fell out of the tree with his pants down to his ankles.
That's true.
But outside of that, you know, absolutely, that's what they talked about. And can you tell me a little bit, Kathy, like FIFA obviously is wanting the feedback, like they also want this to be smooth for the fans. And so it's not like they're going to be resistant if you say, let's try opening this gate or this exit for the buses. I mean, this is not your first rodeo with this stuff.
Yeah. That's funny. I have that sign in my office right behind me right now. It's not my first rodeo. Yes, Arrowhead events, and everything that happens out at that stadium complex, they are experts in what they do. And yes, FIFA, of course, is interested and open to hearing more. You know, Pam Kramer, our CEO for KC26, is leading the charge and going, look, you got to listen to us. We've got to fix this. But there are ideas like opening the gates earlier, you know, so we can appreciate the rush of buses and cars being driven to the stadium, opening up entrance into the stadium earlier. I'm not saying that all of that's been decided, but all of those ideas have been discussed today.
Anything else you want people to know? Like, I'm riding high on this thing, Kathy, and I never really paid attention to soccer outside of my five-year-old and the orange slices that we did 20 years ago. It was incredible last night.
Wasn't it? Like, I am still just beaming from the last 2.5 days, from Monday's energy in the city to the guests that were landing at the airport, and just everywhere you walk downtown, it's like a whole different city already. And then to think about next, we have, you know, the match on Saturday, and then next week we've got the Netherlands. This morning I stopped in at a very small, great Made in KC shop up north in Briarcliff. And there were people from the Netherlands in there shopping. They couldn't buy enough KC gear. And I thought, well, how about that? These ladies were lovely, and they just love our city already and have fallen in love with all the orange around town. So, you know, yes, we can always improve on things. That's what we do as event people. That's what we do. We lean into what went wrong, which is always the hard next morning after a big event. So stick with us. There are things that will be improved upon, but my goodness, if you were in that stadium last night, and even if you're watching on TV I haven't seen the numbers yet, but there had to be 1 billion viewers across the world. They're not complaining about transportation. We've got to get it right for our city, and especially for those that are here, whether you live in Kansas City or you're, you know, paying good money for your ticket or you're in from out of the country. but still realize that the globe, the world stage doesn't happen often, and we will get through this transportation hiccup and it will be phenomenal. And we are one game, one match into six matches. So enjoy the ride.
And I'll tell you this, Kathy, I was barking about this months ago when all of the headlines were just doom and gloom. How are we going to do this? How is this going to work? How are we going to have all of these people? How is it going to work getting people in from Lawrence or what? Like all of this stuff, there was a lot of ink spilled that was negative. You are so good at your job. You are never going to be the person that says, I told you so. So I will say it. I told you so. I said this was going to be one of the greatest events in the history of this city. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
I would also tell people, and thank you for that. It takes a true village of thousands of people to make what is happening this summer happen here. But if you, whatever mode of transportation you took, especially if you went by car, I would check out Connect KC 26. Those buses that we have, that's going to get even more easy. It would be smoother next time.
Yeah.
Look at modes of transportation to maybe that's a legacy coming out of this of, hey, look how well this works and help us make it easier. So get on, pick up a bus pass, show up to a bus mall, jump on a bus, enjoy it with fans from all over the world going in and out of these matches. Try something new. This is your opportunity to experience the world coming to our city.
Love you. Love you. Thank you for the call. I know how busy you guys are today. That is the head of the Kansas City Sports Commission and Visit KC, Kathy Nelson. Nobody does it better. Enjoy the rest of this month. You deserve it.
Thank you.
All right. Be well, my friend. See, everything is going to be just fine. Because we pivoted, I'm going to bring up this story now. Did you hear what Argentina's doing? This is very interesting.
I did not know.
So Argentina,
I mean, scoring a hat trick in their first game
was, you know, that was something last night. But with respect to their fans, and I want to know if you think this would work here, they are asking the United States government to ban some of them. Think about this. People from Argentina who are here or in any other part of the world where these matches are going on.
Yeah.
Their government is asking when you come with your ticket, here's my name is Sam, here's my ticket, that some people, when they get to that turnstile, will be turned away, even though their ticket is perfectly valid.
Okay.
They have paid an extraordinary amount of money for that ticket. And here is why. Their government is increasingly emphasizing accountability beyond sport, tying national pride to legal and financial obligations. Listen to this. The program is called Safe Stands, and authorities are expanding their efforts to identify men and women with pending legal issues, outstanding financial duties, think child support.
Okay.
And it is a screening program going on right now with the World Cup.
So basically, if you have thousands of dollars to fly to another country,
that
to
is
pay
thousands
Bingo. Of dollars to go to Bingo. A sporting event, you have enough money to pay your child support, you jerk.
Argentine officials have shared a list with the United States containing the names of around 13,000 individuals who are like wanted, who, you know, owe tens of thousands of dollars in back support. And the intention is to prevent them from attending the World Cup match based on the argument that your personal obligations must be met before participating in something like the World Cup. And the broader message is neglect toward your duties at home is
Don't
not compatible
fun, yeah.
with high-profile, expensive sporting occasions. I am curious. You got a warrant out for your arrest. You want to go to the Super Bowl.
How would they execute this?
That's what I'm asking. How do they know?
I mean, if I remember correctly, that story said 13,000 Argentinians.
13,000 people. Now, I'm not saying they're all here in Kansas City, but like,
does that mean that the guy, the ticket taker at the gate, is going to scan the ticket and go, okay, hang on a minute. See ya. Okay, I'm at 6,000. Hang on.
Theoretically, Sam, theoretically, 913-586-7798. We'll tell you more about that. And then we'll get to the Rex Heuermann and Luigi Mangione story straight ahead. Stick with us. So the program is called Safe Stands, you guys, and I want to know, under certain circumstances, would this work here? And here's why. Since its expansion in 2023, the Safe Stands program out of Argentina has screened more than 4 million spectators across more than 1,300 soccer matches in Argentina. During the operations, authorities have identified more than 1,000 individuals with outstanding arrest warrants and issued multiple administrative bans from the stadium. So in the United States, it's always difficult to talk about child support because it is such a hot button issue. And I am saying that as a woman who never received a dime. We did not go that route. Never once have I ever had any sort of support in that regard.
But there was a constant, or is a constant, conversation of how do we get,
how do we force people to pay,
refuse to pay, and to buck and up and do it,
man or woman, because I know plenty of women who are the breadwinners who pay child support. I always point that out. And so, you know, I know people who will say, well, my God, this person hasn't paid what is owed in 8 months and I can't pay tuition for the kids, but there they all are going off to the Masters or to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I would rather focus, because child support is such a loaded topic, I would rather focus on the outstanding warrants.
So it says here, actually, that the Safe Stands program, known as Tribuna Segura,
yep,
is the identity screening initiative launched by Argentine government to eliminate violent crime,
yes,
and violence and crime at major sporting events. So theirs is actually the pretext of it is less about do you owe child support
and more about violent criminal offenses.
Are you a bad person? Is there a heightened chance that you're going to cause problems at these sporting events? They scan every single ID, a national ID, of every person who enters the stadium.
There we go.
That then cross-references a database, and they get the green light or the red light.
Okay, but wait. This is where we're going to have problems in the United States. People are going to say, I don't want my ID scanned going into the Super Bowl. Or going into a Chiefs game.
Yeah.
And then let me ask you this. Once you announce that we're doing this, don't you just borrow a friend's ID when you're going into a sporting event? There's always a way around this, Sam. You know that.
I mean, yeah, you could probably figure out a loophole like that, but I'm assuming that if it were something that were coming down from the federal government and they were really doing the best they could to enforce it, it would be tough. I mean, your friend would have to look exactly like you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, remember college?
Well, it's not, I was about to name a bar in Lawrence, but I won't. It's not like back in the day where you could literally use an ID of somebody of a different race.
Or a piece of paper that said it was your, this isn't my birth certificate, but it's my national ID.
Says here they use real-time screening. So it actually, the scanners instantly check the government and police database, and it will tell them, whoever's working the gate right there, this person can go or not.
Okay, what about, and I don't want to make this about the FBI's most wanted list, because those people are probably not going to be dumb enough to show up to a baseball game or a football game. But what about just, I don't want to say the run-of-the-mill wanted people in every city? So-and-so is wanted for aggravated assault, and they have
parking
not been
tickets.
Able— Not parking tickets, because that's just going to clog up the system. Is there someone that arrests you right then and there? Like, let's say you're wanted for aggravated assault.
Yes.
They've been looking for you for a year.
Depending on the crime that you are wanted for, they will detain you right there.
You know, the number one case that I'm thinking of where this would have led to a much faster arrest, Chiefsaholic.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they start thinking that he's the guy that's robbing the banks. Every single time he goes to a Chiefs game on the road, those banks were getting robbed.
I don't think they drew those connections, though, until after his arrest.
But I guess I'm saying, why not reserve it for the big bad? This would not be you've got outstanding warrants for parking tickets.
They already kind of do that. I've heard stories out of Madison Square Garden, and, you know, whether these stories were confirmed nor denied, I don't remember. But I heard stories about people who would go to Madison Square Garden and they would be sitting there in the stands, and the camera, using facial recognition, would
say,
that person has been banned from Madison Square Garden, and two security guys would walk up and say, yep, you're not allowed to be here.
And I'll tell you this, Sam, in some cases, the facial recognition works, but in some cases, it does not.
By the way, this program has been going on in Argentina since 2013.
Yeah.
2013.
I have a feeling we know about it here, and there would just be too many constitutional rights violations to do it. I don't know. Who knows? All right. Just going to pass these stories on, not looking to make it a topic. Let's start with Gilgo Beach. Gilgo Beach serial killer Rex Huerman had three chilling words before the disgusted judge issued his sentence today. I'm just going to tell you, he is going away for life, times three. Three life terms behind bars. How much of the courtroom statement do we have, Sam?
I've got 3 full minutes of him talking and then the judge talking.
Well, let her rip.
There are no words I can say. I am responsible for what was said in this room today. The words I would say have no meaning. And I'm going to leave it there.
Okay, so stop him there. He just said, there are no words I can say, but I am responsible for what was said today. The words I would have no meaning, and I'm going to leave it there at this time. It's the judge I want you to hear from. It is scathing.
Mr. Hillman, as Mr. Tierney said, I know that you're sorry that you got caught. I assume that you're sorry for what you've done to your wife and children. Are you a little bit sorry for what you did to these poor innocent women? 8 women that you strangled to death, at least 8 that we know of? Are you at least a little bit sorry for that? Yes?
Yes, I am.
You know what? You've been described as a very big man. But you're a disgusting and despicable small man, if you're a man at all. And you're a coward. As a result of your plea of guilty to murder in the first degree under count 1 of indictment 73544 of 2024, it's essentially correct that you serve the rest of your life without the possibility of parole. Respect to count 2, murder in the first degree. It's essentially court that you serve the rest of your life without the possibility of parole. With respect to count 3, plead guilty to murder in the first degree. It's essentially court that you serve the rest of your life without the possibility of parole. Those 3 sentences to run consecutive with each other. With respect to count 7, murder in the second degree. It's a sentence of the court that you serve an indeterminate term in prison with a minimum of 25 years and a maximum of your life. With respect to count 8, murder in the second degree, it's a sentence of the court that you serve an indeterminate term in imprisonment with a minimum of 25 years and a maximum of your life. With respect to count 9, murder in the second degree, it's a sentence of the court that you serve an indeterminate term in imprisonment with a minimum of 25 years and a maximum of your life. And finally, with respect to count 10, murder in the second degree, it's the sentence of the court that you serve an indeterminate term of imprisonment with a minimum of 25 years and a maximum of your life, all of those sentences to run consecutive with each other. Mr. Tierney, with respect to counts 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. He ends that judge who should run for the highest office in the land because he's now my favorite human being ever. He ends his judgment with, get him out of here. Get him out of here.
Well, you heard he was getting emotional there as he was reading off the sentencing.
Get him out of here.
Whew, yeah.
Finally, justice in some respect for those families. I love his accent. I loved what he said. I love that finally it's consecutive. None of this concurrent BS.
Yeah.
Because every one of those victims deserves that sentence.
Oh, he's never getting out.
No.
25 years times,
no.
What was that?
No.
7?
No.
Yeah.
And then Luigi Mangione is going to mount an eyebrow-raising psych defense in his state trial for the murder of the United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson.
Really eyebrow-raising?
Yep. Those are some big eyebrows.
Yeah, they
too,
are.
I mean, Manhattan Supreme Court Judge Gregory Caro said today that Mangione's lawyers will argue he was in the throes of a, quote, extreme emotional disturbance and experienced a, quote, profound loss of self-control when he gunned down Thompson in December of 2024. So for the first time, they're saying, you got us. He did it. We're not going to lie and say, well, how do you know? Well, the eyebrows, that's how we know. How do you know it was him? They're now saying, okay, he did it, but he was off his rocker when he did it. And I will tell you, statistically, we can look this up. The number of times an insanity defense has worked in a case like this is close to zero. It is one of the hardest bars to cross. I don't think jurors like it. You did it. Own what you did. Bye.
Well, and especially with this case, he seemed so calculated with all of the evidence that they have gathered, allegedly outlining.
He had the materials. He had the plan. He put everything together.
Had the plan for the bike. Had the plan to dump the clothing. Once the judge ruled that the backpack, the gun, and the manifesto could be used in the case, it was pretty much open and shut at that point.
He faces life in prison if convicted of murder in the state case, maximum 25 years on charges if they are reduced to manslaughter.
Do you think that they're trying to get to a speedy conclusion of this case so they can appeal on those pieces of evidence?
They're going to appeal that the authorities at that McDonald's did not have the right, that they violated his constitutional rights when they opened that backpack. I don't think it's going to matter, Sam.
By the way, the success rate of an insanity plea of any kind, very low. Less than 1%.
I thought it was between 0 and 1%. Yeah. I remember weird numbers like that. 913-586-7798. Who owns your credit card debt in a divorce? What about an abusive relationship? We're going to get to that story straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. So I love this next story. And we are going to carry this over into the 4 o'clock hour. We had to move some things around so we could talk World Cup with Kathy Nelson. And I'm so glad we did. Listen to the story from CBS News. Her ex racked up $7,000 of credit card debt, crumbling her finances. Now a new law could require some people to pay. 4 years into her second marriage, she didn't ask questions when her husband asked her to sign on to a credit card in his name. Then the relationship turned abusive, she said. When she left her marriage, she found herself in financial distress with her credit score tanking hundreds of points after her former husband used the credit card and stopped making payments. Quoting here from Juliet, who asked CBS News not to use her full name for personal safety reasons, "I never used the card that was issued." Despite that, she now has close to $7,000 of debt in her name and no clear way to remove herself because this was a, quote, shared account. The bank wanted to meet the couple in person to dissolve the account, but she has an order of protection against the guy and doesn't want to be in the same room. He legally couldn't be in the same room. It is an issue of safety, she says. Juliet has a story similar to thousands of domestic violence survivors, and states are just now beginning to enact legislation that could help them and other survivors of economic abuse. Her credit score, you guys, fell from around 800, which is about as high as you can go. That's a really good credit score. Yeah. To 460. So she leaves the abusive situation with a 460 credit score, could not find a single landlord that would rent to her. And I know this. We have friends over at Hope House and other domestic violence shelters across Kansas City who will tell you the economic abuse that comes along with domestic abuse is a very, very real thing, where there are spouses out there who will use finances against the abused. It just happens. Half, in fact, of domestic violence survivors are coerced into relatively small amounts of debt, and then they turn around, and it's $10,000, it's $20,000, it's $30,000, and the abuser walks away, stops making payments, and the women, or sometimes men, cannot find their way out of it. And so what is the answer? And one of the questions I have with respect to accountability is that if you can prove none of those charges is yours, in a narrow set of circumstances, how do we go after the person who created the debt? Because if you were married, you know this. In most states, your debt is joint debt. Even Sam, let's say you opened a Macy's card. I know that you wouldn't do that. and you racked up $20,000 on the Macy's card. Something happens to you and Mary Beth, she legally, after marriage, would be responsible for half of that debt. And yes, it is now pouring down rain.
Torrential downpour. So
here at the studio and beyond, we'll get to that after the break as well.
We'll talk about this some more after the break. I'm already kind of poking holes into the idea of this. I think it's a fantastic idea if we can roll it out seamlessly. The concern being, does there have to be some sort of conviction? Does there have to be some sort of order of non-contact?
Right.
And I hate to even suggest that
because you don't want people to use this in a way where it really was your debt, or you really are responsible for this debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you.
Not saying that this would happen, but I can't say it's not possible. You rack up a bunch of debt and then you falsely accuse your significant other of abusing you.
Well, and the banks are going to say, this is not our problem. We don't want to be in the middle of this. Yeah. This is what you owe. Figure it out. Right? 913-586-7798. We'll get a weather update when we get back. We are under a severe thunderstorm watch for most of our listening area. 913-586-7798. If you want to weigh in on the debt topic, you are listening to Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.